Well, you have a great opportunity to hear God's word, and so let's turn in the scriptures to Leviticus and chapter 23. And Leviticus chapter 23, we will be reading verses 1 through 44. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 44. And beginning in verse 1 of Leviticus 23, these are the words of the living and true God. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work.' Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall then be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, 1/4 of a hin of wine. Until the same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. There shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wine offering, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread you shall present 7 1-year-old male lambs without defect in a bowl of the herd and 2 rams. They are to be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. You shall also offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs 1 year old for a sacrifice of peace offerings. The priest shall then wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering with 2 lambs before the Lord. They are to be holy to the Lord for the priest. On this same day you shall make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God." Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'In the 7th month of the 1st of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord.' The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'On exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there's any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you. And you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening. From evening until evening you shall keep your Sabbath. Again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of this seventh month is the feast of booths for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. These are the appointed times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, to present offerings by fire to the Lord. Burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each day's matter on its own day, besides those of the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your votive and free will offerings, which you give to the Lord. On exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the sons of Israel the appointed times of the Lord. Those are God's words. So far in the book of Leviticus, we have heard about holy persons, holy things, and holy places, all concerning holy worship, generally speaking. There have been, at times, very specifically, parts of the Ten Commandments of the moral law, and yet mostly the ceremonial law that dealing with worship. In this chapter, we have God's commands concerning holy times that He appoints. We learn first off that if there is to be a holy day, the Lord is to command it. We do not make our own holy days. We see at first the moral law, verse 3, the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And then the rest is part of the ceremonial law. And the ceremonial law comes from an application of the moral law to the nation of Israel specifically, and only for the nation of Israel. And so we see the yearly feasts of the Passover and unleavened bread in verses 4 through 8. We see the offering of first fruits in verses 9 to 14. The feast of weeks in verses 15 through 22. Then the solemn celebrations of the seventh month. The Feast of Trumpets on the first day, 23 through 25. The Day of Atonement on the 10th day, 26 through 32. And the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths on the 15th day, verses 33 through 44. And from this chapter are foreshadowings of Jesus Christ, just as we found in every chapter in Leviticus so far. The Passover points us to the Lord's Supper, of course, and therefore Christ's suffering and death as the Lamb of God slain to take away the sin of the world. And because Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain, just like in Exodus, so God's wrath passes over us who believe in Jesus Christ. The Feast of First Fruits points us to the resurrection, And such offerings no longer therefore need to be sacrificed. The Feast of Weeks points us to Pentecost, where Christ ascended 7 weeks, even as it says in this passage, 7 weeks after His death and resurrection. The Feast of Tabernacles also pointed to Christ. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Drink of that spiritual drink of salvation. That dwelling that then we can have in God. And then, of course, the Day of Atonement, which is just like all the other feasts, a copy of the reality of Christ Himself and His atonement. Remember that Hebrews 10 says that those things in the Old Testament were a copy of the reality. Jesus Christ and the heavenly things being that reality. And so through Jesus Christ's blood, a new and living way is made into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, so that we may today worship Him spiritually before the throne with our hearts. And when we come to the New Testament, we see, as we think of this, all these different, from verse 4 to the end, all these different celebrations, these feast days, are called Sabbaths. And so when we come to the New Testament, Colossians 2:16, we think of that verse, those days spoken of there, described in part in this chapter, have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Including, we'll see, chapter 25, in a couple Lord's days, that exclude all these so-called holy days in application. We do not make holy days. The church does not make holy days. Only God makes holy days, or days holy. And He's made, verse 3, from the moral law, the very fourth commandment, which is the moral law being perpetual and eternal. The fourth commandment is that remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Working 6 days, resting one this day, the Lord's day. And so in all these Old Testament days, we see the fulfillment of them in Christ, the true reality. And so we ought to look to Him alone for our salvation, which is shown here, and to serve Him in our worship. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your holy word. We're thankful for this book of Leviticus. Most of the time, perhaps, this book seems distant to us because we're not part of the priesthood or the priesthood talked about here. We're not part of the sacrificial system and worshiping, going to Jerusalem and to the temple, to the tent of meeting. Father, we don't have that. We have the better. We have Christ. And so, Father, we pray that we would not see this as distant. We would see it as clear and our experience in our union with Jesus Christ. That He is our atonement. He has reconciled us by His death to You, the Father. And Father, we're thankful for this, and therefore we celebrate the Lord's Day. We celebrate the Sabbath day that You've given to us, the only holy day that You have declared for us, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that we would treat it as the only holy day. That days that we think of, like our wedding day, or July 4th, or Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that, Father, these are not holy days. These are not days that are more important than the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is the highest day. And we are thankful that we get to celebrate it by the great privilege that You've given to us. We get to celebrate this day approximately 52 times a year. And we are thankful that we don't have to only celebrate it once a year, but the many times each week, once every week. And Father, we pray that on this day we would rest in You. That our labors, we would put away our work, that we would rest our hearts, our souls, our minds, our emotions, our desires that we would rest all in You, in Your Word, in remembering You and meditating upon You in worship as we gather together in public today, also in private worship. We pray that we would spend the time also in acts of mercy and not only spiritual mercy, but also physical mercy, evangelism, and helping those who are in great need. Father, we ask that You would, on this day, grant to us Your Spirit and Your Word, and You would put Your Word in our minds and our hearts and change our lives. Father, we do pray for the church. We know that over a great many of the churches throughout the world today, there are those who are not celebrating Your resurrection. They are not celebrating You, the Lord. They are entertaining themselves with false worship and going astray. And Father, we pray that You would call them back. You would bring about a reformation for them and to us where we need it. We do not claim to be perfect in our worship, but we do ask for Your mercy. We ask for Your grace to show us where we need change, if there is needed change and reformation. We want to be pure in our worship. We want to be holy, but not only doing the right things and going through the right, going through the motions, but Father, we plead for right hearts, hearts that are earnest and zealous for You and worshiping You according to knowledge. And Father, we do pray, pray for our congregation that You would grow us, that You would build us up in faith and sanctification, but also grow us in number, not so that we can glorify ourselves, but glorify You and proclaim the gospel to more people. We pray that we would be more diligent in evangelism and inviting people to come and worship with You and with us, worshiping You. Father, we do pray also for other churches. We pray for the Casper, Wyoming church, for their pastor who, and his wife who this past year lost a child, and they are still struggling in their grief. We pray that the church would come alongside them continually and help them and comfort them. We pray that You would hear our prayers, that You would comfort them. As we are able here to serve them, we can pray. And so, Father, we pray that You would hear us and answer and turn their grieving into rejoicing by Your mercy. Father, we ask also for the Phoenix Church. We're thankful that they called a pastor and he has accepted Chris Myers. We pray for the selling of his home and that transition next year. And he just be going to be ordained. We pray that You would give him great wisdom as he's starting out as a pastor there. Father, we do pray also for those in our congregation who are struggling, those in body, and Dina and Jeannie especially, and any others. Father, we do praise You for the new baby in the womb of Becky. We pray for the baby's health, Becky's health, and that You would bring that child about, presumably next year, Lord willing. We pray that You will grant to that their family a blessing, but also Your church, and the blessing of a new child of the covenant. And then, Father, we do ask that You would bless us as we continue studying Your Word today. We have covered for the last few weeks the topic of suffering. And Father, we ask that You would give us understanding and wisdom about this, but then also what we'll hear this evening, zeal to continue serving You no matter what comes. We pray for those who are suffering now in their bodies, praying for those who are suffering in their souls, that You would heal them and You would strengthen them for the task of serving and glorifying You. And in that we pray for all of us, for your mercy and grace to be upon us, that you would cause us to suffer in union with your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.